Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your wonderful salvation and what you have done for us on the cross. So this morning, by your blood, we can come before you in confidence that you totally accept us as we are by the covering of your own blood. We can come to you. But we pray that this morning you speak to us so that once again we look at the gospel you have given to us, the precious salvation, so that our hearts can be open to you and we have faith to receive your words, so that we can enjoy and trust in you, so that we can live by what you have done and rely on you alone. So that may your name be glorified. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to anoint our heart and mind so that we can hear you clearly from you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God willing, I would like to look at the book of Galatians with you, session by session, through a series of messages. Through this book, I hope that we can all hear the message which God wants to speak to us. One thing to remind you is that this morning I will try to finish my message earlier than usual. So at the end, we have some time for the Sunday school class to present a video for what they have done recently. The book of Galatians is a letter from Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia. Who are the church of Galatia? If we read the letter later on, we will find that these are the churches Paul and Barnabas previously preached the gospel to them. Where were they located and when the preaching happened? We are not very sure. The location and the time of the preaching doesn't impact us in understanding the message in the book of Galatians. However, nowadays, most Bible teachers think that it was during Paul's first mission trip with his co-worker Barnabas around the southern part of Galatia province of Roman Empire rather than the northern Galatia. We can look at the map. So in the map that's on the right-hand side, we can see the Antioch. This is where the Holy Spirit sent Barnabas and Paul to their first mission trip. And then we can see the arrow they go from Antioch and then go to different cities. We can see the two circles over there as well. One is pointing to North Galatia, one is pointing to South Galatia. Most Bible teachers think that nowadays the Galatia church, the letter addressed to is the southern part of Galatia. When Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the Holy Spirit through the Syrian Antioch church leaders, at that time, they are fasting and praying, and then the Holy Spirit sent them. And God used and blessed the mission trip very much. Paul and Barnabas went through the cities such as Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe in the southern part of Galatians province of Roman Empire in their first mission trip. They are located in the southwestern part of today's Turkey. After the gospel was preached, churches in those cities were established. As we read further on the book of Galatians, we shall notice that quite a lot of Galatian Christians are Gentiles. When the gospel was preached there, it was not without opposition. Because when Christians are zealously preaching the gospel, the enemy Satan is also zealously opposing and hindering it. It happened at Paul's time. It happens today. So we need to be watchful. Acts 13 and 14 tell us that when Paul and Barnabas was preaching the gospel, the Jews who were zealous for Judaism were jealous of them, because many people were attracted to hear the gospel. Those Jews persecuted Barnabas and Paul, even to a point that Paul was thought to be stoned to death. Not only there were extreme persecution from Jews zealous for Judaism to the newly established churches. After Paul and Barnabas left, false teachers zealous for Judaism came into the church communities to teach a different gospel to the congregation from within. We call them Judaizers. They taught that believing in Jesus was not enough. They said that believers need to work according to the law of Moses in order to be saved. That means Christians need to be pursuing to fulfill the law of Moses in order to be justified by God and to mature in God. That is to add Judaism onto the gospel of Jesus. Due to this misleading and confusing false teaching, Paul wrote this letter to the churches in Galatia with urgent and heavy burden to bring them back to the original gospel of grace of Christ. This morning I would like to look at the greeting session, which is in the first five verses from chapter 1 with you. Let us read together. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 5. The Bible translation version I'm using is ESV. Let us read. Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The session we just read is Paul's greetings to the Galatians. The theme I would like to give to this session is the gospel of grace and peace. With this theme, I would like to give to this session two main points from this passage. First is Paul is the apostle God sent. The second point is the gospel Paul preached. Let us start with the first main point. From verse 1 and 2, Paul is the apostle God sent. Verse 1, Paul an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the church of Galatia. Verse 1 and 2 form the first part of the greeting session of the whole five verses. In the beginning of the greeting, Paul introduced himself as an apostle. The word apostle means the one being sent, or the one who is sent by someone with a commission. In the original Greek New Testament, there are some people Paul called them apostles. For example, Paul called his spiritual son Titus as an apostle of the churches. He also called his fellow co-worker Epaphroditus an apostle of Philippian church. However, the word apostle here is different. It has a special meaning, which is different from that of the above mentioned apostles. Paul was called to be an apostle here. This apostleship was not by any man, men in plural, or Christian group like his church in Syrian Antioch. Neither Paul was called to be an apostle by a singular man like famous church leader like Peter or James. His apostleship is not by any group of men, nor through any singular man. Paul was called to be an apostle directly by the authority of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Paul has the authority that came directly from God. God authorized Paul to speak as God himself speaks in the book of Galatians. Paul deliberately emphasized and mentioned of his apostleship and authority at the start of the letter. It's not because he wanted to boast how good and how important he was to gain approval from the Galatians. Not at all. It is because he wanted Galatians to read carefully what he is going to write in the letter to them. He wanted the Galatians know very clearly that the gospel he preached previously was not from man, but truly from God. There is one true gospel the Galatians need to be very clear about and need to be holding on to. He wanted the Galatians to listen to him very carefully and obediently, because it is the message from the apostle of God. We thank God for speaking through his apostles in the 27 books in the New Testament. We thank God for using his servants throughout the years to keep all these 27 books in the past and translating them into different languages we today understand. These servants of God, they treasure the Bible so much that some of them even cost their lives to keep and to translate them. For example, William Tyndale was strangled to death and burned at the stake at Antwerp in 1536 because of translating the Latin Bible into English language. Tyndale's last words before death were, "O Lord, open the King of the England's eyes." About 3 years later, his prayer started to take effect when King of England Henry VIII allowed the English Bible in every parish church in England. Even now, some Christians are risking their life in reading the Bible in persecuted countries like North Korea. Today, we can freely read the Bible in our hands, including this letter to Galatians. Let us treasure it and read it with a grateful heart, consciously knowing that the word is from the Lord through his apostle like Paul. Let us hear Christ, who loves us so much and wants to speak to us the precious gospel which he has accomplished by giving himself on the cross. So let us read it with care and faith. Verse 2 tells us that Paul wrote this letter. He wrote it with all the brothers with him. Though Apostle Paul received such a special apostleship and revelation from God, he was not a one-man band. He had brothers and sisters around him. He was a man of fellowship and co-working. He has other Christians with him. On the other hand, having all the brothers with him also shows to the Galatians that the gospel he was going to explain to them had the support of all brothers with him. They all share the same understanding of the gospel. After looking at the apostleship of Paul, let us now look at the gospel Paul preached from the second part of the greeting. This is verse 3 to verse 5. In Paul's greeting, we can see the content or outline of the gospel. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we need grace and peace. But we are sinful people. Facing God's righteousness, we can only wait for God's wrath, but not God's peace. How can we have peace and grace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ? God made it possible. As Paul mentioned in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. We receive grace through Christ giving himself for our sins 2,000 years ago. Christ is sinless. He died for our sins as a sin offering on the cross, substituting us to be condemned and punished. We are delivered from our sin penalty, not because how good we are or what good we have done. We are delivered from our sin penalty because how good Christ is and what he has done for us. This is grace. This is the gospel of grace. Because of grace, we undeserving sinners can receive forgiveness of sins from God as a free gift. Because of being forgiven by God, freely, we can be at peace with God. In this way, we can have grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of Christ. The source of God's gospel is grace, and the result of the gospel is peace. We have grace first, and then we have peace follows. If we have peace first before grace, then we are in trouble. Because without grace, sinners as we can't have peace. If we have peace, the peace must be a false peace. False peace blinds our eyes and numbs our guilt. False peace hinders us to seek for God's grace. Paul used the words to deliver us. It is not that we deliver ourselves by our own righteous good work. We can only be delivered by Christ. All other religions in the world require the follower to earn the deliverance through doing good works by their own effort. Their founders, at best, are only teachers, teaching the followers what to do to deliver themselves. Not even to mention their teachings are full of falsehood because they have not come from God. Jesus is the greatest teacher. But if we only have his teaching, the teaching itself cannot deliver us. Because we are helpless and hopeless sinners, we can't deliver ourselves. Imagine a person who doesn't know how to swim is drowning into the water. The best swimming coach in the world can't save the drowning person by just standing afar at the shore instructing the drowning person how to swim to save himself. Only when a life buoy is sent to the drowning person, he can be delivered from the water. Jesus is our life buoy. He came to us to deliver us. He is our great Savior. Grace and peace are from him. Grace not only bring peace between me and God, grace also bring peace between us and other people. The more we see God's forgiveness, the more we are grateful to God's grace. The more then we are able to give grace to other people to forgive them. In this way, the peace we receive from God will grow and can extend to peace with others. I think of the restoration of peace between a son with his father. George Madowell was the author of the book more than a carpenter. He believed in the Lord at 20 years old. By God's saving grace, his sins were forgiven. He had peace with God. Not only he had grace and peace from God, the grace and peace from God gradually transformed him and his relationship with others. His father was an alcoholic, and his mom was beaten severely by the alcoholic husband. He was the man in the world George hated the most. However, after George believed in Jesus, the grace and peace he received from God started to change him. He started to forgive his father. The hatred he had for his father started to be turned into love. His father gradually noticed that change in the son. One day when George was in the hospital after a car accident, his father went to visit him. The father said to George, "Son, how can you love a father like me?" George replied, "Dad, 6 months ago, I despised you." Then he shared with his father how he believed in Jesus. George told the father, "I have placed my trust in Christ, received God's forgiveness, invited him into my life, and he has changed me. I can't explain it all, Dad, but God has taken away my hatred and replaced it with a capacity to love. I love you and accept you just the way you are." After another hour of conversation, the father looked at Josh and said, "Son, if God can do in my life what I've seen him do in your lives, then I want to give him opportunity. I want to trust him as my Savior and Lord." The father became a child of God. Now there is peace between the son and the father. This is an example to see how grace and peace from God not only change our relationship with him, they can also change our relationship with others. Christ delivered us not only from our sin penalty and judgment of God's wrath, he also delivered us from the present evil age, from the influence or power of the present evil age. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, "He, our God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Through Jesus giving himself as a sin offering on the cross, we receive forgiveness. Through Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father, we receive new life. Previously, being sons of wrath, fearing of death and judgment, we became children of God and are now at peace with God. Previously, being in the domain of darkness, we have been delivered into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Previously, following Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, now we have our new King Jesus to serve with new life we receive. All these are done by God's grace through Christ Jesus giving himself for our sins. On one hand, the time when we trusted in Christ, we were already delivered from the present evil age and were set apart in Christ's kingdom. In this sense, we have already been set apart for God. Being holy means being set apart for God. By what Christ has accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection, we are already made holy. We are already sanctified in Christ. We are called saints. Even the immature Christian in Corinth, Paul called them saints. This is the position in Christ before God they have. This is also our position before God. We can call this our positional sanctification. But this position sanctification does not necessarily describe our experience or our spiritual condition in our daily life. When we are on earth in this present evil age, God continues to work in our lives to transform us to be like Christ. He continues to save us from the present evil age. In this process, God works His holiness in us in our daily experience. We should be progressively growing spiritually. We can call this our experiential sanctification. Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3 that one day, when Christ our King returns, we shall see Him as He is. Then we shall be transformed to be like Him. This is the glorious day we hope for and we are waiting for. That day we can experience the full, complete extent of the salvation of Christ, who delivers us completely, experientially, from the evil present age. We call this our ultimate sanctification. While we are as Christians in this present evil age, we are in the process of our experiential sanctification. This is God's transformation work in us, from our positional sanctification to our ultimate sanctification. In the experiential sanctification, the secret of this transformation work is on looking at Christ, looking at what He has done for us, looking at His glory. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." How can we look at Him with unveiled face? Christ is so holy and glorious. Sinners like us, supposed to be cured in His glorious and holy light. But now we have Jesus giving Himself for our sins. Our sins are now forgiven. We can have perfect peace before our holy God. Not because we have done enough merit, but because Christ has already given Himself for our sins. In Christ alone, we can have this perfect peace. In His presence, we can behold His glory without fear. Beholding Him, we will be transformed into His image from one degree of glory to another. We don't need to be good enough or perform well up to a certain standard. We can come to Him as we are, by the covering of His blood. We don't need to add any Judaism to the finished work of Christ in order to have peace, to draw near to Him, to behold Him. The more we behold Him, the more we experience His delivering us from the present evil age. The more we experience peace of God, experience peace with God, the more we have peace with others and peace with ourselves, we will be more like Him. May we behold Him more. May we spend time to behold Him, behold His glory, behold him with his words. This is our experiential sanctification. Both grace and peace are from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In order for us to receive grace and peace, not only Christ is required to give himself to deliver us from the present evil age, the Father is also required to be willing to sacrifice his own beloved Son on the cross for us. As Paul said in verse 4, last part, this has to be according to the gracious will of the Father. The salvation can be accomplished, need to be according to the gracious will of the Father. So both the Father and the Son are in one heart and one love to give us grace and peace. It is through the gracious act of the Son and the gracious will of the Father we receive grace and peace. This is the gospel of grace and peace. Lastly, the purpose for us to receive grace and peace is to share the likeness of Christ, his holiness, and his glory. In this way, we, originally undeserving sinners, by his grace, we can glorify God through manifesting his holiness and glory. The ultimate purpose for this, for us to be like Christ in his holiness and glory, is for the grace of God's glory can be praised. This is a wonderful and glorious gospel. That's why Paul, at the end of the greeting in verse 5, praising God, saying, "To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your love and willingness to give yourself to us. Father, we thank you so much for your willingness to sacrifice your beloved Son on the cross so that we can be saved from the present evil age. And not only that, you called us to be yours. You called us to be like your Son, Jesus. Now may your wonderful gospel deepen in our hearts so that we can behold Christ more, so that we can be transformed into his likeness, to give you glory and to experience your precious peace. Lord, we commit ourselves and your word into your hands. May you speak to us and translate your wonderful desire and purpose into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.